belittle my mom did get some judgment, because I do know that somebody did say to her once, like, you have more problems with your one kid than I have with all six of mine. And like, but when we got older, nobody judged my mom. And in fact, I got a lot of, my house was the house that everybody wanted to be at. All the kids wanted to hang out at my house. I confided everything in my mom. My friends also confided everything in my mom. She knew everything about everything because everybody talked to her. Everybody, and if anything, people would make comments about how I, you know, like, they wish they had parents like mine, and other parents would make comments about how wonderful my mom was all the time. So maybe when we were little, she got judgment. But as we got older, and like you said, you start to see things pay off, like this relationship that was fostered, or this, like, you know, this home environment that feels good to be in. Yeah, she didn't get any judgment.
And if you want to be a part of the conversation too, then subscribe to my Patreon, www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz, and join the conversation. Ask your own question. Be a part of it for as low as $5 a month and get access to one-on-one coaching with me for as low as $20 a month.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
By the way, I know we're recording. I'm just going to cut this part out. But I'm going to introduce the podcast, and then I'm going to introduce, and then I'm going to have you introduce yourself.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your parenting, teaching, or leadership journey. And today I have a fun episode for you guys. I think it's going to be one that a lot of people share with their partners and their friends, because I get this question a lot about what kind of, you know, what is the impact of, you know, gentle, conscious, respectful, whatever parenting. And today I have someone on here who can kind of give you an inside scoop about what that's like. But before I jump into the conversation, I'm going to have her introduce herself, and then we'll get right into it. Go ahead.
Okay. So, hi, I'm Jess. I was raised with gentle parenting, and today we're going to chat about it. So I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited to jump in and see what kind of questions you got.
Well, first question is, how many kids do you have?
Three. So I have three boys. Yep.
Three boys. What are their ages?
They are 6, 5, and 2. So
6, 5, and 2. So, okay. First question is, let's just get this out. What is gentle parenting, you know, from your perspective? Like, let's just start there with that super vague, broad question.
Okay. So at its core, it's under like the authoritative branch of parenting, right? But the way that I feel like what I center it around is the connection and the communication with the child. Like, there's a huge focus on the connection and the communication with the child, but authoritative is just, you know, high levels of accountability, high levels of acceptance in a nutshell. And then the way that I've always seen it and the way that I've read about it, then it's just focusing on that connection and communication piece. But parenting without using fear-based methods, in a nutshell, is how I would. There's probably a much more scientific or like well-researched definition, but that's been how I feel.
I think that's a pretty good definition without getting into like the nuances of different strategies and things like that. And so you say, and I've seen it on a lot of your content, you say that you were raised with gentle parenting. Just for reference, so that people know, if you don't mind, you said anything, you know, nothing was off limits. How old are you?
How old? I'm 31.
So 31 years old, you were raised with gentle parenting.
Yeah.
So they're very different times. 31 years ago, or even 20 years ago, very different times in terms of how people viewed, I guess, discipline and kind of what was normalized in parenting during that time. I grew up being spanked, and that is something that I kind of viewed as normal, and maybe not every single one of my friends got spanked, but it was definitely not something that, you know, I would say to my friends and they'd be surprised. So it was a pretty normal kind
of thing that
happened. So what was the difference, like, in terms of you being gentle parented, what did that kind of look like in your childhood that you can remember? Do you have any stories or any?
I have a lot of stories. I have a lot of things that I have a lot of. So one thing too, is I actually remember a lot about my childhood, which I learned through me, because I kind of fell into talking about this. It was an accident. I made some videos about my mom, and then somebody had asked, is there any, I stitched a video asking, has anybody ever actually been raised with gentle parenting? And a lot of people have really wanted to hear more about the videos I have made about my mom. And when I stitched that video about being raised with gentle parenting, it took off, and I really thought that my experience was kind of, you know, everybody kind of had it. It was like, and then the messages started coming in and the comments started coming in about some people had didn't know what love had felt like, or they didn't know how to talk to their kids, or nobody had ever talked to them when they were a kid, or everything was like a punishable offense, or and so then I accidentally fell into talking about the way that I was raised. But I have a lot of stories. So one thing about me is I wasn't really in, well, now I definitely would have been diagnosed with something way younger than I was, but it's the 90s, right? And I was like, so I was a more difficult kid. It was certain things were harder with me, you know, executive function was a skill that I struggled with. And, it's easy to tell that, especially if you have siblings who don't struggle in the same way. So nighttime was a nightmare, like all those things. And my mom was always trying to figure out what was going on, how she could help me, what strategies we could use. And a lot of moments where I think I talk about where it would take me like 2 hours to clean my room, where she would ask me to clean my room. It's like a 15-minute job. And she'd come up and everything would be even more of a disaster. And I'd have like color coded all my nail polishes in that time. And I think that's the moment where a lot of times there would be, that's where like the punishing starts, or the like, I'm taking all your stuff and putting it in trash bags if you don't care about it, or whatever happens, you know, or the yelling. Or, and my mom wouldn't, she would look around and she'd be like, all right, so where do you want to start? And we would start cleaning it together. And there were just a lot of moments like that where it was trying to figure out how is your brain working and how can I work with it? And at nighttime, you know, it would take me hours to settle myself and I would have to get all my thoughts out. And she was the one who encouraged me to journal. She was like, I love the way you tell stories. I love the way. And she would be like, so then we would start journaling at night and I would start talking with her. I would journal at night. And then she tried meditation and stuff. She tried so many things, but it was never about punishing me. It was always about giving me skills. And when I tell those stories, it kind of surprises people. It like shocks people that like, you know, but that's how I remember it is it was always, and I don't want people to overthink it, but it was always about connecting and communicating. And that's really what it always centered around was what are they struggling with and how can I help them with it? And and then you take those skills to adulthood.
Well, and that's what I want to ask you. So like those skills, you said it was always about teaching you skills and connecting. Mm-hmm. Do you have any memories or can you talk a little bit about like, did you ever use any of those skills in teenagehood or adolescence or adulthood? And can you tell us like what situations where it actually helped you?
Yeah. So when I went to college, right, there's like this learning curve with college where you kind of got to like figure things out and like you're just like kind of dumped off for the most part.
Yeah.
But because I had like figured out and I have been helped with like, here's how you have, like, here's how things work for you. And when I first got to college, there was 1 year where I was an RA and I was playing soccer. I was a D1 athlete. And there was this thing that we had to make these poster boards as an RA. And I still remember this. And I knew as soon as they told me about these poster boards that we had to space out throughout, that we like had to put up one every month. I knew immediately if I waited, I would never do them. So I knew that, like, so I made sure before we even started the school year, I got all my 12 poster boards done, because I knew if I didn't do it then, every single month, it would be something I pushed all the way to the back burner, because it was something, it would have been more difficult for me. I don't like, you know.
I need to learn that skill. How did your mom teach you that skill? I need that.
Go ahead.
You said that you struggled with your, you know, executive functioning skills and being able to kind of plan and prioritize is one of those things that you struggled with. And
yeah,
during college, when you're faced with that challenge all on your own, you were able to use those skills. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, how did your mom like intentionally teach you or support you in those skills?
See, I don't know if it was I don't even know if it was like super intentional it was intentional for helping, but not specifically for those skills.
Right.
I don't think, but you know, when it came to school, there was always like, there was a lot of struggle around schoolwork, like certain subject, any non-preferred subject was an enormous struggle. Right. And so there was a lot of like, you know, trying to make it fun, working together, getting a special study spot ready, blocking out time, you know, and there was just a big focus on making it not torturous every single day. Because yeah. I feel like a lot of times what happens is you fall into these patterns where there's a part of the day that you dread, and maybe it's homework with your kid, and maybe your kid dreads homework, and it turns into this, well, nobody likes it. You got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
That's life, you know, get over it. And it wasn't ever like that. It was always like, all right, well, how can we make this not so torturous? How do we take breaks, get snacks, do something that we do prefer, and then come back to what we don't prefer? And it was a constant work. My mom.
You know, there's something I noticed. You were talking about your mom, a skill that I see you using that, she supported, you know, you were talking about, she encouraged you to do journaling and, you know, because she liked the way that you told stories. And yeah. I see you on the internet every day telling these stories and, you know, sharing your experience through stories. And that is resonating with other people and reaching other people and helping people with their own stories and their own challenges. And so I just think that's one thing that I am like a big supporter of, just really trying to facilitate, really seeing children and trying to facilitate their strengths and giving them opportunities where they can really dive into their interest. I'm gonna shift gears a little bit for a moment.
Yeah.
You mentioned you kind of like stumbled into talking about gentle parenting. And you actually have, I don't know how many, I didn't check to see how many followers you have, but you have a lot of followers. You make a lot of videos. You also make a lot of videos that are, you know, talking about popular videos that other people are talking about in terms of parenting. And so I assume, I don't need to assume, I see it, but you get a lot of comments about people agreeing or disagreeing with, you know, some of the strategies that, you know, you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted to know, you know, in terms of, because I think you're also someone who works with other creators in the space too. I think you just mentioned too before we started recording.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the overall kind of gentle, respectful parenting space and how people are receiving it and how people are engaging with it on social media? General question there.
Yeah. So my so like with anything, I think you have to find creators who resonate with you, who the when you go to their page, you feel supported. It doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of like superiority or like, you know, an us versus them feel with gentle parenting or respectful parenting versus all other, you know, and I think that's really important with the space. But I will say this, my views on the space have changed the longer that I've been in it, because I used to think before I was in it, I used to think, man, people get really, you know, like really defensive over these parenting strategies. But then I realized that a lot of people are breaking the cycle and a lot of people are getting so much pushback from their family, from their friends, from they have no support outside of that. So then when you kind of are in your like place that you feel good on the internet and people are coming in and like, this is why kids today act this way or this, that, and the other, you get really defensive because you're already getting that from everywhere else, you know? And one of the things that makes it easier for me to talk in the space is that you can't really say too much to me. I already grew up, you know, and I'm not the first person in my family to be raised like this. All the way back, my grandmother and her siblings weren't being spanked. And my mom and her siblings weren't being spanked and their cousins weren't being spanked. And so it's not that it's just me and my experience and there's some like anomaly going on here. So it is easy to be not so defensive on behalf of myself because I already lived it. There's not too much you can say to me.
You're like, I already know it works. Like I experienced it.
I already grew up. Yeah. And I think there is, and a lot of people, it is hard to unlearn the things that you learn because there's this idea that if you're not very harsh with kids, if they're not constantly being punished, that they're not going to learn lessons, that the only way that they can learn lessons is through harsh punishment. And I don't actually remember learning any lessons through harsh punishment. Yeah. So.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Be real with me, Jess. Now. Let's be real with me. Self limits. What was in your memory from your perspective? Yeah. What was the worst thing that you've ever done as a kid?
So I don't actually. The worst thing. So. Neither one of my parents are perfect. Let's start out there.
No one is. Perfect doesn't exist. We know perfect.
Nobody's perfect. So, yeah. And honestly, and it's funny because I know people want to say like that there's, it's going to be a moment where my mom like really lost her temper or whatever. That's like, but honestly, the things that I like look back, there's some parenting things that she tried that she was like looking into that just like were never gonna work. Like we just kind of like she would introduce it to us and we were like, okay, mom. Like I remember one time she pulled out something called the no jar, like some psychologist or something had talked about it. And anytime you said no to her, she would put a little no in your jar. And then if you asked her for something, she would pull your no out later. And that lasted about a day. And we still roast her for that. We were like, there was so many like little things that she tried that we roast her for now. And she's like, all right, I was doing my best. losing her temper. There was one time with my sister when she was a teen that my mom really lost her temper with her. And my sister, God love her, she was the easiest kid her entire life. And then her teenage years kind of came around.
Yeah.
And my mom still talks about this. She's like, I just felt so bad for her. Like you could tell she was just struggling with so much. And my mom really lost her temper with my sister. And because we hadn't seen it, we were all just kind of like, all right, well, let's all, and like, even my dad was like, all right, everybody take a deep breath. We're fine. It's fine. Everybody's fine. Like, give your mom some space.
Yeah. You know, but, and that's, you know, that's a thing about yelling that I will say is that, you know, anytime like you yell all the time or you like have a big reaction all the time, like, and you act like everything's an emergency, then nothing is an emergency.
Yes.
But, you know, when you, that's something that you rarely do and you do it once in every blue moon, then it has way more of an impact of like getting the attention you're trying to get.
Yeah.
As opposed to doing it over and over and over and over and over again, which a lot of people get in the cycle. And I've been there too. But it's just, that's just really funny. And something else that I noticed that, you know, along with her fail, I still admire the fact that she was, you know, willing to try. And
yeah,
I'm sure, like, you know, 20 years ago, there definitely weren't the same resources available as there are right now. You know, there weren't people on MySpace with parenting accounts.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's a good point.
you know, but I think what's powerful, even as you know, roast her today, I think something that is I can really respect is that she was willing to, like, go and search and try and find a better way. And she clearly wasn't afraid to fail, because I'm trying to think about that no yesterday. Like, I don't even understand the thought process behind it.
It didn't work even a little bit, because we were like, can we have broccoli? No. Can we? And then I was like, all right, can I go to the movies? And she's like, ran out of no's. I'm like, well, that went well. All right, bye, Mom. She started reading parenting books when I was little, because there was, like, quite a few things. So, like, I was a runner when I was little. I really didn't listen, like, I didn't really listen well when I was very little to pretty much anything. You know, and now we would know, like, okay, these are signs, like, if she called my name, or these are symptoms or whatever. They would always joke about the fact that I would never respond to my name, like, never, ever, ever respond to my name. And so back, that's like, it seems like you're not listening, right? But yeah. Then you like, and so she started reading parenting books all the way when I was that young about like what to do if your kid runs away. Or there was one called, I think, like, The Spirited Child, which is still around maybe today in some sort of updated version.
Yeah.
But she that's the other thing, is she was always building me up. Like, I think if you have a kid that's when you are harshly punishing your kids all the time for their behaviors, it's inevitable that one child in your home is going to receive more punishment than the others, because all kids have different temperaments, different personalities. They respond differently to punishment and rewards and those types of things. And when every behavior that you don't like or you don't see receives a harsh punishment to extinguish it, there will be a kid in your house that gets more of those punishments than the other kids. It's really inevitable. It really is.
Yeah.
And without question, that would have been me. Like, like, my sister couldn't have been, you know, easier to parent if she tried. Like, she was like, it would have been me. And my mom never was. She was always building me up. She was always turning things into strengths and turning things into and I even talk about, like, when I would talk constantly all the time, it was always, wow, you're so interesting. I love the way you tell stories, instead of like, oh my God, stop talking. Yeah. Like, we heard it.
Yeah.
Which, okay. I'm sure there were moments that I don't remember where she was like, Jessica.
Yeah. She probably, I'm sure she had her ways, but, you know, but I really respect the being willing to try. And I think that's, like, the big thing that I noticed in talking to people, and even, you know, myself, right? She encountered, it sounds like she wasn't reading parenting books before you were born, but once she encountered a challenge, she didn't, you know, immediately jump to the aggression or, like, this is, like, okay, there's got to be a way to figure this out. I've got to, like, try to solve this problem. She kind of stepped into curiosity, and she, you know, read books and tried different things. Some things worked. Obviously, some things didn't work. I assume she kept the things that worked. And I think we can learn a lot from that now, even with all the resources and, you know, better science and all the stuff that we have now, of that, even in that, there are going to be some things that are more effective for one child as opposed to another child. Like, the way one child regulates may be different than the way another child regulates. One child might really need the hugs and physical touch. Another child might need space. Another child might, you know, feel better with a song, a tone of voice. Another child might need physical activity and different moments. These, you know, one thing may be more effective than another thing. And it takes some time to figure that out. It takes some trial and error. There's never a world where any parent, any teacher is going to meet a child and know all those things about them. Even if they get to, you know, even if they're adopting the child and someone is telling them about them, you're still going to have to get to know them personally. And you're still going to kind of make mistakes along the way. So that thought process of like
trial and error,
trial and error, and just stepping into curiosity is probably one of the most important things. And even, you know, for myself, I know that that's a little bit of my story too, because I'm just kind of being thrown in the classroom and then like, oh my goodness, like, this is not what I expected, and everything I'm seeing around, like, there's got to be a better way. And, you know, and other people I've talked to, Dr. Becky Bailey, who wrote, does all the conscious disciplines. She's a creative conscious discipline and wrote Easy to Love, Difficult to Discipline, which is a great book, by the way, for those who are looking for book recommendations. That's a little bit of her story too, of she started off like in a classroom, and I think working with people who had different needs, and she started off with, there's got to be a better way. And that sent her on a trajectory of researching and educating herself and practicing and creating this, you know, now 25-year-old program that is helping people all across the world. But it started off with the same kind of approach that your mom started off with, that I started off with, like, oh man, there's got to be a better way. Let's get curious. I wonder how, like, you know, first, what are your thoughts about that? And then I kind of want to ask a little bit about like your parenting. How do you feel like being gentle parented is impacting your parenting currently?
So I think one thing that you said is like, you know, you kind of learn along the way and you make mistakes, and, you know, and I think that that's something that I try to make sure that I always convey, is that it's always about a big picture. You know, you're not going to be, it's always about the big picture, not the little tiny mistakes that you made along the way, because there is no way to go through parenting without making some mistakes. It's impossible. And there's no way that like your kids are going to get to adulthood and they're not going to look back and think, hey, you know what? This is one thing I might change, because it's, we change, our times change, and and we do our best. And that's why when I even made that video about my mom, I said, I think she's about as close to perfect as any parent could get, because there's no, it doesn't exist. There's no, you can't constantly chase that perfection. You'll feel like a failure all day, every day. And I think that that's like a good point that you brought up with the, you know, willing to try. I love that you were like highlighting that and like, but, and what was the second thing that you asked me? Sorry.
No, you're good. How do you feel gentle parenting is showing up in your parenting right now? You know, any of the skills or regulation techniques or any of that you brought into being a parent now? You have three children who are all relatively young. You said six and
remind six, me. Five and two.
Five and two, yeah.
Yeah, so one thing, so you had brought up I'm so losing my train of thought, because I had something that I really wanted to say and I focused too hard on it. We can just cut this part out of me trying to figure out what it is that I'm trying to say.
Or we keep it, because mistakes are all a part of the process. And we want to be transparent, and we want people to, we want to normalize mistakes.
So you were talking about every kid is different. And I think that's something that I absolutely took with my mom, from my mom, is that she really understood her kids. She really connected with us. She really was like in tune to us and understood us. So like I talked a lot. My sister didn't like to talk a lot. She had different ways of like connecting. And that affects moments with parenting, because you understand, I told this story when I had this like really big panic attack going into school. Or some people correct me and say it wasn't really a panic attack, but they weren't there. So it was like this big moment of panic. I've never really felt like that. And I was going into school and my mom had driven me that day. And I locked her out of the car and was like freaking out. I was like, I'm not going in. I'm not like, and I was a freshman in high school. So like, for what most people would consider way too old to be acting like that, you know? Uh-huh. And like most everybody commented, like, my mom would have ripped me into that school. Like, my mom would have beat me all the way into the principal's office. Like, and my mom didn't. When I calmed down, she told a better version. I forgot this part of the story. So I actually did calm down. She convinced me to like get out of the car. And then I like ran away from the school and she was like, oh my God. So she left and we left and we got hot chocolate and we talked. And then I went back to school and everybody was like, well, how did you learn to face issues and not avoid responsibilities in the future that you could just throw a fit? And then, but it wasn't throwing a fit. And she knew it wasn't throwing a fit. She knew that this was like very outside of the norm of how I typically was. So I didn't need to be harshly punished. She didn't need to like rip me into the school because something was going on that wasn't within the realm of typical, you know? And actually after that moment, after that, because I was avoiding a test that I wasn't ready for. After that moment, I actually did get evaluated and I did end up getting accommodations through the school for like, actually starting to figure out why it was that everything was becoming so overwhelming once you kind of hit that, these pivotal points in school, you know, there's like third grade, fifth grade, sixth, you know, and then there's ninth grade. And when you've kind of been getting by for all those years, because, you know, learning comes easy for you, but then all of a sudden you have to implement it with strategies for learning and that's not coming easy for you. And it all kind of, It was after that moment that I was able to get evaluations and accommodations and start to understand what it was that was like really happening. So that
brings it 360 to the story you told earlier about college. You know, I imagine a different situation, right? You were freaking out because of the test. You locked your mom on the car and you ran away and all that stuff. I'm sure your mom probably also was probably stressed out, probably had other things to do. That's probably not how she spending her morning, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure she was really frustrated. Kudos to her for keeping her cool and going to get, you know, hot chocolate and having a conversation with you. But I imagine if it went the other way where, you know, she grabs you and like, I don't know, she spanked you or yanked you in and yelled at you.
Yeah, that's what everybody said.
You would have never figured out, there would have never been a conversation about like what the issue was, right?
Yeah.
Where you were actually struggling and where you could have actually received help to solve that problem. And because she had that conversation with you, she was able to get to the root of the problem so that you could both identify it together. Even as a high school freshman, you probably didn't fully understand what the problem was. You just knew that something was wrong. You just had these feelings in your body that were telling you something wasn't right. But you didn't know what the root of the issue was.
Yeah.
The help of the adult, and then also working with the school, you were able to not only figure out what the issue was, but you're able to come up with solutions to solve the actual problem, not just the behavior iceberg tip to the top, but what was underneath, the underlying stuff. And then, you know, later on in life, in college, where you weren't, you know, you didn't have her to rely on or no one else. You just had yourself, your RA, you already had kind of like these responsibilities. You were able to use that understanding of yourself to be successful. And I think that is so powerful. Like that is such a hard thing to see, because most, like when you're in the cycle of punishment and you're thinking about it like, oh, you did something bad, I need to like punish you so you know that it's bad so you don't do it again, you don't get to see that other side. So you don't get that, like, you know, there isn't that aha moment, or, you know, because even people who are gentle, conscious, whatever, parenting, struggle with it. And then there's these moments, right, where you actually see where the, the you actually understand the underlying need that you're like, wow, like that is, that's why I'm doing this. Like that, it, this is really powerful.
Yes, that it's more long-term. Like you don't get, you might not get that like immediate, like, oh, she went into school, she took that test. You don't get that moment, right? But it's down the line where you get to see, oh, these lessons, these things, or the, you know, whatever's going on. And I think there's also this idea, right, that kids want to act a certain way, that they're like, they know what they're doing. It's very intentional. I can assure you, no 13-year-old wants to be freaking out in the school parking lot. Like, you don't want to be, and even if you know, okay, this is not the way that I'm supposed to behave. This is not, you, it happens anyways, and you don't want to do that. You don't, no kid wants to be the bad kid. No kid wants to be the problem child, you know? But I've always said this, I said, but they will succumb to the role if they feel like they have no other options. If they feel that, because whatever it is that's holding them back from behaving the way that they're supposed to, if we never strategize, if we never get to the root of it, if we never, if they never learn whatever it is that they need, or if they never get whatever it is that they're missing to be able to behave the way that everybody wants them to, everybody thinks they know how to, they'll succumb to that role because you don't have any other options. They're backed into a corner, you know? And I truly do believe that just from my experience, I think my entire childhood would have been vastly different if I had been punished for every moment where I should have been behaving differently, because no kid wants to do that. I didn't want to be the kid that was keeping everybody up at night because I had sleep issues, you know?
It's but it was something that you were struggling with. And, you know, you say that about, you know, 13-year-olds, and obviously because of that, they don't want to be embarrassed, and, you know, mostly, you know, want to go with the flow, and you want to take the test and get the good grade, and, you know, and have the adults like you, and like, you want those things. And the same is true for younger children too, but there's a reason why they're not doing that. They're, you know, out of control because they don't, you know, there's this problem that they are facing that they don't understand, that they often don't understand themselves. And so we can either, as the adults, we can either, you know, try to help them understand what that problem is, what they're struggling with, or we can just punish them for struggling. And if, when we punish them for struggling, then that means that now they're condemned to struggle alone, or with, best case scenario, with their peer group, with their friends, right? And, you know, it's great for them to have a peer group, but don't you, you probably want someone with a little bit more wisdom on your child's team, right? And once you start doing the harsh punishments and start looking at them as the problem, then you're disconnecting them. Like you're not going to be on the same team.
The same team. That's such a good way to put it. Like that, cause that's a lot of times how I think of our family, you know. I think of it like, hey, we're all working together. Like, you know, like how it is that we want to talk to each other, and how it is, you know, that we want, like, and when we come up with new routines for like bedtime, it feels more collaborative. Like, like a team. That makes sense when you said it. That was like a light bulb. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
It really does too, because when you like reflect and think about it, this isn't even just a kid thing, right? Like, we all want to be heard and seen and understood and collaborated with and feel like we belong to the group and are part of the team. We all, like, that is a human thing. You know, whether you're 13 or you're 3 or you're 1 or you're, you know, 58, 62, we all want to feel like we belong and we're a part of something. It's just, it's really great to hear that your mom was able to do that, especially, you know, 20 years ago. I want to ask, 20, 30 years ago. Your lifetime, the past 31 years, because she's still parenting you in some way, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I guess this is my last question, because only because we're running out of time. But judgment, I want to ask you about judgment.
Oh, touch that's on a little such bit. A good question. But
how did your mom like deal with the judgment of like during, and maybe where she was, the community she was, not spanking was normal, but you know, we'll do both. Like, how do you deal with the judgment when you're doing something different? Because it's like, oh, my child's not acting the same, the way that they should be acting. And then other people are looking, why they're just looking because it's the most interesting thing happening right now, or they're judging you or whatever. You know, that feeling of judgment will stop someone from staying alive.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up, because a lot of times I think that when we're in public spaces, especially, and we see people being really harsh on their children, I really do think that that almost always just comes from this place of like, you know, this social pressure to have perfectly behaved kids in every moment, right? And one thing about my mom is she doesn't care what anybody thinks. It's not of interest to her what people say behind her back, you know, behind her back for a reason. It doesn't matter to her. And when we were little, she did get some judgment, right? Because we were little. And people want like these little kids to be perfectly behaved. And if you have perfectly behaved little kids, then obviously you're a good, you know, then that's how we have societally translated it. Like, great parenting equals perfectly behaved little kids, but it's not always, you know. And so when we were little, my mom did get some judgment, because I do know that somebody did say to her once, like, you have more problems with your one kid than I have with all six of mine. And like, but when we got older, nobody judged my mom. And in fact, I got a lot of, my house was the house that everybody wanted to be at. All the kids wanted to hang out at my house. I confided everything in my mom. My friends also confided everything in my mom. She knew everything about everything because everybody talked to her, everybody. And if anything, people would make comments about how I, you know, like they wish they had parents like mine, and other parents would make comments about how wonderful my mom was all the time. So maybe when we were little, she got judgment. But as we got older, and like you said, you start to see things pay off, like this relationship that was fostered, or this, like, you know, this home environment that feels good to be in. She didn't get any judgment. Not that I know of, you know.
What about you?
What about me? And you know what else too is funny about that? So my mom actually works, and she's a very big manager at a very big company. And people have found that used to work with her have found my like TikTok. And I've gotten comments from people who have worked with her, have been like, Maggie was one of the most influential people in my entire life. You know, like, she changed the way. So she didn't just apply that, like, you know, caring about people to her own children. She applied it to business too. So people will say, like, oh, well, how will they get out in the real world? But not everybody in the real world is treating you badly, you know? And if they are, you can leave and go find somebody who doesn't treat you badly, you know?
I think the challenge is that we need to create more spaces, more work cultures, more environments where it isn't the norm to treat you badly, because that is, I think, people generally... a lot of times lead similar way of traditional leadership is very similar to traditional parenting on a lot of aspects.
I know we ran out of time.
I know, go ahead. Your last thing. And then
you asked me about judgment towards me. I don't really get, and that's another thing that makes it easier being raised with gentle parenting, is I don't really get a lot of judgment, nor do I feel a lot of pressure from the judgment of others. Because of that, because I feel very secure in what I'm doing, and I have a lot of support around me. And it's funny, because my husband really wasn't parented this way, like, at all. And I see, like, this, like, when we're out in public it's like he's on like high alert, like, you know, and I see it like in his body language and the, and I'm like, okay, why did we bring the tension to the, like, to the restaurant? Like, but, and it's funny because I don't feel that way and I don't feel the pressure as much. And that is one thing that it definitely helped me with in is feeling very secure in my own parenting, feeling very secure in knowing that, like, with this connection, this communication with my kids, that it's about 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, what does this look like, you know? And that not every single thing when they're 2, 3, and 4 has to be this intense battle, you know? It helps to enjoy. It absolutely helps me to enjoy motherhood. Because a lot of the things that people struggle with, like the judgment or the, and the pressure to be perfect. And I don't really feel that, to be honest, because there's just a lot of support, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's going to help people feel really hopeful for their future too and their kids. And you know, always talk about, like, it's not, you know, you're not just raising your children, you're raising your children's children.
Yes.
And so, like, your legacy, like, you don't have to break every single cycle and this first go around. Like, 100%. Your kids are going to take what they've learned from you and they're going to build off of that, and their children are going to take what they've learned from them and build off of that, and it's going to continue, and that's going to be your legacy. Oh, that's
so true. And my grandma was, she always said, and I was very, very close to my grandma, her big thing was that children need to feel heard, and that they need to be heard, and they need to feel good about themselves. That was her big thing. Like, that's truly what she believed, is that when kids are heard and when they feel good, they reflect that in every area of their life. And
shout out to grandma for breaking cycles, and shout out to everywhere along the line, because I can see how that's grown, even from you talking about your grandma, if you're talking about your mom, from hearing you talk, I can see that progression and how you've each built off of each other. So
thank you for having me. I feel like we could have chatted for so long.
And that means we need to do a part two at some point.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?